Today we continue in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Menachos. Today we will complete the ninth perek and begin the tenth perek. Perek Tes Mishneh Tes, the ninth perek, the ninth Mishnah, and Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph, the tenth perek, the first Mishnah. In the ninth Mishnah of the ninth perek, we compare two procedures that we have been studying. In the past several Mishnayos, we have studied about the procedure of semicha, by which the donor of the korban places his hands and presses down upon the back, head, neck of the animal. And back in the fifth perek, we learned about the procedure of tenufa, whereby which the kohen, and in certain cases the bailim, the owners of the korban, wave the korban, or the parts of the korban, in the four directions, north, south, east, west, and raise it up and down. That procedure is called tenufa. Our Mishnah says, Chomer basmicha meba tenufa. There are certain ways in which semicha is stricter than tenufa, and uvatenufa mi basmicha. There are other ways in which the tenufa, waving process, is more strict than the smicha, or pressing down of the hands upon the back of the animal process. She'echod meinif l'chol ha'chaverim. If several people get together and jointly, in partnership, donate a korban, so one person performs the tenufa for them all. They don't all do the tenufa. However, if people jointly in partnership donate a korban, an animal korban, they all do the process of smicha. Not in unison, but in sequence. If there are five people, first number one does it, number two, then number three, etc. V'chomer batenufa, there are ways in which tenufa is more strict than smicha. Shahatenufa noheges bikorbonos hayochid. Tenufa applies to certain korbonos brought by an individual person. Like, for example, a korban shlomim, when the procedure of tenufa is done with the emorim, with the parts of the animal which go upon the mizbeach, and with the chozev or shok, with the chest and the thigh bone of the animal, which are donated to the kohen. Tenufa is done with this korban, even though it is individually donated. Uvi korbanos hatzibur. Tenufa also applies to various korbanos which are done, which are donated, or which are offered on behalf of the entire tzibur and the entire Jewish people. For example, the two sheep which are brought on Shavuos, the shnei chivsei atzeres, they require a tenufa. When they're still alive, the sheep are waved in this manner, together with the shtei halechem, with the two breads which are brought on Shavuos to accompany the shnei kivsei atzeres. And also, the tenufa of the chozev ashok of those shalmei tzibur, of those sheep, this tenufa done. So tenufa is done with korbonos yochid and korbonos tzibur. As opposed, by the way, to semicha, which is not done for korbanos tzibur, except for two special exceptions, which we learned about earlier, the par helem dover shel tzibur, and the soir la'azozel on Yom Kippur. Bachayim, the tenufa procedure is done with certain korbanos when the animal is still alive, as in the case of the shnei kivsei atzeres. And also, the osham mitzora requires tenufa when the animal is still alive. Uvashchutin, and tenufa is also done with animals after the animal is slaughtered, such as the tenufa of the chozav ashok, of the shalmei yochid, of a shlomim brought by an individual person. And, by the way, the tenufa of the chozav ashok of the kivsei atzeres is also obviously done after the animal is shechted. Whereas smicha is only done by to an animal which is still alive. Bedavar sheyesh bo ruach chayim, tenufa is done both for animals, which are living, animated objects, uvedovar she'en bo ruach chayim, and also for inanimate objects, such as the korban mincha, where the flour, oil, etc. are waved, and where there's not a living being. This happens by a minchas ha'omer, by the minchas sota, by the lachmei toda, the lachmei nozir, etc. Masha'en kein basamicha. Smicha does not apply to korbanos sibur, with the two exceptions we mentioned, and smicha only applies to living animals and to animals as opposed to korbanos mincha. So we have completed the ninth perek. We begin the tenth perek. By the way, in our study of Mishnayos, we follow the sequence of perokim, the sweet sequence of chapters, as they are to be found in the standard Mishnayos. In the Gemara, there is often a different sequence of chapters than there is in the Mishnayos. In the Gemara, the perek which we're learning now, of Yishmoel, the 10th perek, is actually the 6th perek. But no need to complicate matters. In the standard Mishnayos, we're about to begin the 10th perek. And the 10th perek treats the subject of the Korban Omer, which is brought from a tenth of an ephah, asiris ha-ephah, of barley flour. It's unusual. Most Korbanos Mincha are brought from wheat flour. And it is brought on the 16th day of Nisan. And until that point, new tevuah cannot be eaten. From the time of the Korban Omer on, the tevuah chadosha, the new grain, is permitted to be eaten. So the Korban Omer is a matir, is something which brings about the permission to eat and to partake of the new tevuah. The procedure generally was that Motsoi Yom Tov Pesach is one day, of course, biblically and in Eretz Yisrael. A Motsoi Yom Tov, after the first day of Yom Tov, they would go and reap 3 or 5, we'll see a discussion about that, so'im of Kemach. In other words, they would reap enough barley to be able to extract from it, from that barley, by grinding it down, 3 so'im of flour. Then they would sift it very well until from those 3 soim of flour they would extract 1 isaron, a tenth of an ephah, of really choice, select flour, and that was brought as a korban mincha on the day of the 16th of Nisan, the first day of Chol Hamoed. If that 16th day of Nisan fell on a Shabbos, the first day of Pesach was on a Friday, so Friday night, as we will see, they would still reap the Omer and bring the Korban the following day, even though it was Shabbos, because like any other Korban, any other regularly scheduled Korban, it was Docha Shabbos. It overruled Shabbos. The Mishnah begins, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ha-Omer Ha-Yabo B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, rather, then cut down 5, then reap 5 so'in of barley. In other words, sufficient barley to extract 5 so'im of flour. They wouldn't do that, but rather they would reap only 3 so'im and try to extract from those 3 so'im of flour 1 isaron for the omer. They did this in order to reduce the amount of work done on Shabbos. Uvechol, however, if the 16th of Nisan fell on a weekday, then the Omer would come mechomesh. You would reap 5 so'im of flour. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Shmuel's reason is that according to him, choice flour does not come unless it extra tircha, extra work put into it. It only comes if you have 5 soin. If you have 5 soin, it's relatively easy to extract 1 isaron of fine flour. However, with extra tircha, with extra work, you can extract it even from 3 soin. So therefore, Rabbi Yishmael says, in the weekday, you have no problem with work, with melachos, so you bring it from 5 soin. That way you get the best possible quality of the final isaron of fine flour. But b'Shabbos, it's better to do the melacha of sifting, that one melacha, do a lot of that, put extra work into the sifting, and not do the work of reaping and winnowing and grinding, etc., of the extra 2 so'in. So therefore, you only do it from 3 so'in. Granted, you'll have to work harder with the sifting to extract fine flour than you would with 5 so'in, but by doing only 3 so'in, you reduce the total amount of melachos because you're not reaping, winnowing, selecting, and grinding those extra 2 so'in. That's Rabbi Yishmael's opinion. V'chachomim omrim, echod v'shabos v'echod b'chol mishalosh hayobo, that on Shabbos and on weekdays, the total amount of so'in of barley that was reaped was 3 so'im, because from 3 so'im you can grind it and sift it, etc., and extract 1 isaron of fine flour. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim says there was a distinction in the procedure of the ketzira, of the reaping, between Shabbos and the rest of the other days of the week. B'Shabbos, if the 16th of Nisan fell on Shabbos, so you were doing the reaping Friday night. B'Shabbos, hayo niktzor biyochid. Only one person would perform the act of ketzira, of reaping. Uva magol achas, and the only one scythe, one tool was used to do the reaping. Uve kupo achas, and only one basket was used into which to put the barley. However, uve chol, if the 16th of Nisan fell on a weekday, then bishlosha, it was done with 3 people. 3 people did the reaping. Uve shalosh kupos, and they inserted it, what they reaped of the barley, into 3 separate baskets. Uve shalosh magolos, and they used 3 separate scythes to cut the barley, to reap the barley. The reason they did this is to make a greater pirsum, to make it more publicly visible, to demonstrate what they were doing, namely that the ketzira was docha Shabbos. But however, Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim held that as important as that pirsum was, as doing it publicly was, which we'll see later why it was so important, on Shabbos they would not do this extra pirsum and do it with 3 people, etc. However, v'chachamim omrim echod b'Shabbos, v'echod b'chol, whether it was Shabbos or weekday, shisha asa b'nisan, either way, they would do it with great pirsum, with great public fanfare, so to speak, b'shlosha, with 3 individuals, uv'shalosh kupos, with 3 baskets, uv'shalosh magolos, using 3 separate scythes. And so we have finished the first mission of the 10th Perek, and in the process have completed lesson number 30.